Hey, 1 Chronicles chapter 13. I was reading in my Bible a few weeks ago in 1 Chronicles. I came across this passage of Scripture and some powerful things stood out to me. And I want to share it with you this morning. It actually goes along with the verse that is on Bob and Linda's plaque. I didn't know it at the time. I didn't find that out until just a couple of days ago when I was studying a little bit more depth. But we'll get to that in a few minutes. 1 Chronicles 13, we'll read four verses, the first four verses, and then we'll get into the sermon. And David consulted with captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord of our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also the priests and the Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of God, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Father, I need your help this morning. We want to do what you want us to do. And so, Father, I know that I'm in need of your power and your presence. I want to be an empty riverbed, and you be the river. I want to be an empty vessel, and you be the treasure. I want you to use me. I'm not asking you to help me. I need you to use me. And I pray that you'll just have your sweet spirit here. And if there's anyone, Lord, that doesn't know you, that your spirit will convict them. And they'll trust you before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You know, I want you to first of all see in this passage of Scripture the perfect will. The perfect will. God always has a perfect will, and God has a permissive will. God's perfect will is always, well, perfect. And God's permissive will always is less than. Why does God allow permissive will? Because God gave man a free will. You and I have an opportunity to choose. The reason for that is because God wanted us to choose Him. In the Garden of Eden, He put a tree in the midst of the garden. Why was the tree there? So Adam and Eve would have a choice. And, of course, they chose wrong. God's foreknowledge knew what would happen, but still man was given a free will. And today, you and I are given a free will. You and I are given a free will. We can choose to do what we want to do. Now, government laws get involved when my free will infringes upon your free will. But, or supposed to anyway, but we're given a free will. And God gave us a free will. And of course, God's perfect will for Adam was broken, and so God stepped in and God allowed them to eat of the fruit. And when they ate of the fruit, they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, which left all of mankind in disarray. So God sent His Son. Now, God's perfect will was for all of mankind. Now, God's perfect will is for all of mankind to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And yet, people still choose to say no to God. They do it every single day. But He will not force Himself upon anyone. He's the perfect gentleman. But God is that God that can repurpose and give us new life. He's that God that can take the bad decisions that we've made and use us and repurpose us and give what is best for us now. He has a perfect will for all of our lives. No matter where you've gone astray, no matter how far you've wandered away, God has a perfect will now for your life. He is not the God of the second best. He's always the God of best. And He has a perfect will for you. So I want you to know that God does have a perfect will, and that's what I want to see in this passage of Scripture. And it's interesting to note that David's will was to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. The people's will was to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. And it was God's will for the Ark of the Covenant to be back at Jerusalem. So all the wills match up. I also want you to see, David's heart. See, David had a pure heart in all of this. If you go back and you read 1 Samuel 13, the Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. If you go to Acts chapter 13, you'll see again that it's reiterated in the New Testament that David was a man after God's own heart. And so David's heart was perfect towards the will of God. He wanted God's best. He had God's best at his interest at heart. He wanted for God to do something, and he wanted to please God, and he wanted to do something for God. And so I see that when David wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, it was probably more because he was thinking about God than he was thinking about himself. David had a pure heart. Maybe you at one time have had a pure heart. Maybe you had a tender heart towards God at one time too. It seems to me that children are very tender-hearted towards God. They hear the true accounts of Jesus dying on the cross for their sins, and they empathize with them. Maybe they lie on the floor at night and they don't use a pillow, and they sleep on the floor in their bedrooms without a pillow or a blanket because that morning the Sunday school teacher taught on Jesus not having a place to lay his head, and their little tender heart said, well, if Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head, I shouldn't have a place to lay my head tonight. And maybe they laid on the floor that night because of their tender-heartedness. And maybe one time in your life you were tender-hearted towards the things of God. It bothered you if it bothered him. I want you to see the perfect will, but I also want you to know that there's a perfect way. God has a perfect way, just like He has a perfect will, and He has a permissive way, just like He has a permissive will. God had a perfect way, and David should have known that. There was a perfect way here in this passage of Scripture. And for sake of time, I'll not go into the whole chapter of chapter 13, but you need to read it because it's very powerful. But chapter 13 goes on and tells us how David exactly did what David did. And David, remember, David had a tender heart, but God had a perfect way. See, God had a specific way for the ark to be carried. Way back in the book of Exodus, chapter 25, verse 14, He told by the voice of Moses how to carry the ark. And so God had a specific way. And it reminds me of how one can get to heaven. See, in religion, there are several man ideas of how to go to heaven. Some say that you have to be good to go to heaven. Others say you need to be baptized or a member of a certain church or denomination. And others say that you have to be faithful and giving. And yet there are some that say God would never send a person to hell, therefore I couldn't go to hell. And I just want you to know, friend, those are all religious ways to heaven, but there's a perfect way to heaven. Religious ways won't get you there, but God's perfect way will. It reminds me of a story that I was just given just last week, actually. I think it was last Sunday. It was a little boy was waiting for his mother to come outside of a grocery store. As he waited, he was approached by a man who asked, "Son, can you tell me where the post office is?" "Sure. Just go straight down to this street a couple of blocks, turn right, and there you are." The man thanked the little boy kindly and said, "I'm the new pastor in town. I'd like for you to come to the church on Sunday, and I'll show you how to go to heaven." The little boy smiled and chuckled and replied and said, Oh, come on, preacher. You don't even know how to get to the post office. Now, you might not know how to get to the post office, but you should know how to get to heaven. You know, Jesus says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then that passage of Scripture found in John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I want you to know that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I was sitting at home the other day, and I was pondering and thinking about how I could be a better witness. These last 6 months have really been taking a toll on my talking to people about Christ. Shouldn't have, but it has. And I was reading passages of Scriptures where it said, you know, Jesus went to this person and that person, and it seems like the story always ended up well. He went to the woman at the well, and He says, I'll give you water that you'll never thirst again. Well, He knew her soul, and I didn't know her soul. And I started thinking, you know, Jesus was always talking about people that knew they were lost. And that's the key. You know, He did talk to other people. Remember the Pharisees? And He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. I can't even talk to you. You think you're righteous. You don't even know you're lost. And until you realize you're lost, you can't be found. And so it dawned on me, if I could help people see that they were lost, I certainly could help them be found. I think that's one of the hardest and most difficult thing out there in America today is to let somebody realize that they need Jesus because they're lost. They don't know Jesus. They don't know how to go to heaven. They think it's their good works. I talked to a man just the other day. He goes, well, I've prayed and I'm a pretty good person. I said, well, how good do you have to be? The Bible doesn't give us a scale. It doesn't say, well, you have to be 58% good. I mean, the Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then there are a group of people that say, you got to be good. Well, if the Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and 1 John 5:13 says that you can know that you have eternal life, then how in the world can you know that you have eternal life unless you've been keeping record since you were a baby? And nobody carries a clicker around. I did a good thing. And I guarantee you, if we really got honest with ourselves, we'd find out that our bads far outweighed our good anyway. The Bible says it this way, our righteousnesses without Christ, our righteousnesses are filthy rags. When we do things in and of our own power without Christ, it's filthy. But when we do things in the power of Christ, and Christ does them through us, it's righteous. You know, I want you to know that if you're here today and you're not sure that you're going to go to heaven, but you want to go to heaven, there's a perfect way. There's the only way. He's the door. And if you don't put your faith and trust in Him, you'll never see Christ in heaven face to face. But I want you to know that God does have a perfect way, but I also want you to see that David failed. And like I said before, I think David had a tender heart, a pure heart. David had a tender heart towards God. He was a man after God's own heart. And you know, most of the psalm were written by King David, shepherd boy David, as he's sitting on the side of a hill watching sheep. He's just singing and he's writing poetry and he's writing songs. And as a king, he would sit there and ponder things and he would write songs. And he had a heart after God. And I can think that David was probably sitting there thinking, I want to bring the Ark of the Covenant back. The people want the Ark of the Covenant back. God Almighty wants the Ark of the Covenant back. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to build a brand new cart. I mean, it's going to be the nicest cart out there. Brand new. No one had ever ridden in this cart before. It's going to be the best. I mean, the best wood. We're going to use the best ox. The strongest, the handsome, the best looking cattle. We're going to use, and we're going to go get that Ark. And you know, we're going to do it. It's going to be more efficient. It's going to be faster. And I don't know exactly how the Holy Spirit rides in the Ark of the Covenant, but it's probably going to be more comfortable. That's what he did. Build an ox, or build a cart, grab the ox. Took the ox and the cart down there to get the Ark of the Covenant, and they put the Ark of the Covenant on the back of the ox. Everybody's happy. Except God. Because God's perfect will was to be back at Jerusalem, the Ark of the Covenant to be back at Jerusalem. But remember, God has a perfect will, but he has a perfect way. And David failed. If you don't know the story, it's interesting. I'll read it to you. I'll tell it to you quickly for sake of time. That ox was going, and the Bible says it stumbled. Sure-footed ox stumbling, probably sent by God. It stumbled. When it stumbled, the cart moved. When the cart moved, the Ark of the Covenant began to fall. Uzzah, who was riding on the cart, turned around to make sure it didn't fall and grabbed the ark to put it back, to stable it, and God killed him immediately. The whole procession stopped. The singing, the cheering, the joyous heart was silent. They took the ark off the cart. They put it in a person's house. And they went home, defeated. Why? Was it that God didn't want the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem? No, he wanted the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem. But he wanted it done his way. God has a perfect way, friend. He has a perfect will, but he also has a perfect way. And in this scenario, David blew it. I guess you could ask this question, why did that ox stumble? And my thought is the ox stumbled because God probably allowed the ox or caused the ox to stumble. Because God wasn't going to allow David to disobey him, even if the intentions were good. It's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. And David had a pure heart, and his motives might have been right. And I know that there are a lot of people that have good hearts, and your motives are right. But if it's not God's way, it's the wrong way. And there are people that are going to die and go to hell because their hearts are kind, their hearts are good, and they love God. But they don't know God. They've never started a relationship with God. And they'll die and go to hell. Well-meaning people die and go to hell. Well-meaning Christians fail because they want to do it their way and not God's way. I have found this to be true. The things that I believe sometimes change according to the actions that I do. I know of people that used to believe such and such a thing, and then they went through such and such a thing, and now they don't think that such and such a thing is that bad anymore. Why? Because it affects them now. I know a lot of people that have changed Scripture around to fit the Bible into their lifestyle, instead of fitting their lifestyle into the Word of God. And listen, God is not interested in your religion, but he is interested in your relationship. He's not interested in your ideas of how to get things done. He's already told you how to do it. And we need to do it the right way. I'm not saying you can't think outside the box, but you shouldn't think outside the book. And I would say this, we need to stop thinking outside the box because everybody thinks outside the box. I mean, that's a saying everybody uses. Let's think outside. Well, everybody, if everybody's thinking outside the box, maybe we should think outside the room. Maybe we should think beyond the box. But never outside the book. David's failure was he disobeyed. Maybe you're here today and you've made some decisions and you're doing things that you think is okay, but according to Scripture, it isn't. Maybe you should change. No, I shouldn't say that. You should change. But I do want you to know that this story ends happily because there's success. David goes home, gets things right with God, and then David makes a decision that he's going to do it God's way. So he gets the Levites, drags them. This is interesting. I found this so interesting that in verse 26 of chapter 15, it says, "And it came to pass when God," listen to this, "when God helped the Levites that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord." God helped them. So here's these Levites. They've never carried the Ark of the Covenant before. And now they're here looking at the Ark of the Covenant. They put the stakes in, the poles in the way they should, and they all bear the Ark properly, the certain group of men. And now they have this long, long walk home that was going to be comfortable with an ox and a cart. Now they have to walk. And the Bible says, "And the Lord gave them strength to bear the Ark." And so they walked home. And when they walked home, you'll find out that David is dancing and singing, and they offer ox and cattle, and they have this huge supper, and they're celebrating, and they're rejoicing because of what God done. And it was God's perfect will. It was the people's will. It was David's will. And it was done God's way, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful ending. And that's where Psalm 96 comes in. Because in chapter 16, David sings a song to the Lord. The first 22 verses from 7 to 22 is actually Psalm 105. Almost word for word, you can look it up. And then Psalm 23 and on is almost Psalm 96 word for word. And so that plaque that Dave and Linda got that said Psalm 96 verse 1, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song," that was because David was carrying Bob and Linda. Sorry. David was celebrating the ark coming home. One of the most joyous days in the history of Israel's nation. Hey, friend, God wants you to be a success. Maybe you're a believer, and maybe you've lived your life in such a way that you had a heart after God, but now your heart is cold. Maybe you're a believer, and the things that you used to do, you did right, and you did it God's way. Now you're trying to do things your way, and you think that you're going to find success. And there was success for a little bit of the trip, but it ended in disaster, especially for Uzzah. And our trip hasn't ended, and so you might think that you're doing okay doing it your way, but I promise you, if it's not done God's way, it's not the perfect way. And if it's not the perfect way, there's heartache to be found. So do it God's way. If you're lost, there's only one way to heaven, that's Jesus. He's the only way. Do it His way. And if we, fallen creatures, live our life in God's perfect will, and living our life in God's perfect way, then we'll have a perfect result. And the problem is that we're not perfect people, and so we've all we like sheep have gone astray. So what do? The Bible says a just man falleth down seven times and gets back up, so you get back up. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you had a moral failure last week, if you had a physical failure last week, if you had a mental failure last week, if you had an emotional failure last week, if you had a failure of any sort last week when it comes to the spiritual things of God, I want you to know that immediately you can be cleaned, you can get back up, and if we confess our sins, He is faithful, that means He'll do it every time. He is just, that means He has the right to do it. He will cleanse us of our sins, and He'll forgive us. And friend, I want you to know that you and I can be right with God now. Not in 3 days, not in a week from now, not if we go through the series of devotions. I'm telling you right now, you can repent and you can be back where God wants you to be. It's not a long journey home. It's just a whisper. And if you're not where you should be, get there. If you're lost, get saved. Father, I love you. Thank you for your truths that we find in Scripture. Your perfect will and your perfect way is what we want. And Father, there are so many times that I have failed in that area. And I pray that you'll forgive me. I want to do what's right. I can't do anything about yesterday. Maybe I need to ask for forgiveness from somebody or do something, but I can't change it. But Father, from September the 20th, 2020, I can move forward. I can go on. And I pray that you'll help all of our dear brothers and sisters in Christ know that this morning. Maybe they feel like they're failures. Maybe they've struggled. Maybe they've gotten comfortable in doing it their way. And God's been trying to get a hold of their heart to do it His way. I pray that you'll help me and all of us that struggle in that area. Father, the person that doesn't know you as their Savior, may your Holy Spirit quicken or convict their heart. In Jesus' name. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I want you to know that He loves you. He'll save you. Maybe you're here today and you're sitting there saying, "No, Nathan, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. Will you please pray for me?" Hey, friend, I'm not here to embarrass you. I won't embarrass you. I will do my best.